He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
It's that time again.
It sure is.
He said, she said.
That's right.
Today I'm going to let you do all the talking, okay?
No, I think that's unbelievable. I just can't even imagine that you're going to let me do all the talking because that just doesn't happen.
Well, this is your section, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well,
but okay. It is he said, she said.
That's right. You're right. So you get first billing.
So let's get right to it. Okay. What's cooking, dear?
What's cooking is Waldorf salad. Now, do you remember the episode on the TV show Fawlty Towers in 1979 that was entitled Waldorf Salad? And how poor, what was his name?
Well, John Cleese is the actor, right?
Yes.
And he played the part of
Basil.
Basil, there you go.
He played Basil, that's right.
There you go.
And he was trying to make a Waldorf salad. Anyways, it was quite cute. So I had to come up with these recipes, as I always do. And this one was Waldorf salad. And I made it for the family, and they really quite liked it. And it's refreshing, crunchy, sweet, and filled with hydrating ingredients. It's a light salad, yet unbelievably filling. Didn't you find that, Corey, that it was really filling when you had it?
Oh, yeah. It was delicious, too.
Okay, good. And when you eat a Waldorf salad, you can really feel the goodness going into your body. So get on to it. So the Waldorf salad, very interestingly enough, was created at New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel in the 1890s. It wasn't created by the chef, but it was created by the maitre d', Oscar Tschirky.
That's a hard one to spell. I'm looking at the name and it looks kind of weird. It's a Russian or some kind of a
But he was the maitre d'. There. But the original version of this salad contained only apples, celery, and mayonnaise. Now get that into your head. Apples, celery, and mayonnaise. The chopped walnuts later became the integral part of the dish, but the Waldorf salad is usually served on top of a bed of lettuce. So I like to make my Waldorf salad as an entree where you can add meat like strips of chicken breast or turkey or grilled salmon. So that's what I do with my Waldorf salad.
And just on a note too, I think that some of the best recipes are never put together by chefs. As a matter of fact, I think that most chefs don't know how to cook. My observation.
Okay. All right.
No, not for health. Because I've watched all these chefs on TV cooking, and they use ingredients that a two-year-old would know that you shouldn't use if you understood the science of nutrition. Yeah. It's all about taste, right?
Yeah. There's not a lot of shows on TV in the cooking channels and stuff that are, they're absolutely look delicious, and I'm sure they taste divine, but they're really not health conscious. So that's
And also I've worked in a hotel and more than one, and usually the chef is the head honcho. Usually, this is not always true, they're extremely arrogant and they're power trippers and they boss people around and they're a-holes.
Yeah.
As a general rule, that's what I've seen in my own experience.
Like that show Hell's Kitchen. I'd sure like to meet that guy. Boy, he'd sure get the job done. Anyway, what I do with my Waldorf salad recreated, my healthy lifestyle Waldorf salad, I put 2 cups of diced, unpeeled red and green apples. So leave the skin on because it makes it colorful. Then 2 cups of chopped celery and then 1/2 cup of walnuts. Now, make them big, large, not just little tiny little pieces, but you want to have big, big walnuts so you get that chewy, crunchy, sweet flavor. And 2 heaping teaspoons of plain yogurt and 2 teaspoons of unpasteurized honey and some juice of a fresh orange. And then what I do is I cut up the apples and I put them in the juice of the fresh orange so they don't go brown. And then I discard the orange juice and then I add the celery and the walnuts and then I add the yogurt and the honey. And I'll tell you, it just tastes really good. Now, if you want to go a little richer, then by all means, do it with mayonnaise. You can buy a healthy mayonnaise. And if you want to go sweeter, why don't you try some raisins and currants or green grapes on top of it? And if you want to spice up the Waldorf salad, you can try a little curry or Cajun powder and pine nuts instead of the walnuts. There's all different things that you can do with this salad, but you can have this as a main course, like I said, with a meal. You can have this as a main course with turkey, chicken, or fish, or some meat. It's a great accompaniment for anything at all. You can have it as a light little aperitif. You can have it even as a dessert if you want to. So
I found that it hydrated me.
That's right.
I didn't realize there was yogurt in it now, so that even adds more to the chemistry of the digestive value of the Waldorf.
Oh, yeah. Well, the walnuts definitely are not a hard nut to crack when it comes to their health benefits. Walnuts have omega-3s, and they also contain manganese, copper, and tryptophan. So they're a walnut with a high concentration of omega-3s.
One of the few nuts with a good source of essential fatty acids in the omega-3 family.
Exactly.
Because most nuts don't have omega-3s.
Right. So get on those walnuts. So that's my Waldorf salad. So try it. I think kids would even like this. Anybody would like this at all as a great accompaniment. It's really tasty and very hydrating, sweet and crunchy.
Awesome. Well, that was good. And I was fortunate to have been the person that you tried it on, the Waldorf salad.
Right. Well, you and Ruby get to try all my, get to be my little guinea pigs all the time. It's always nice to have a guinea pig around the house when you're feeling creative.
Yeah. You know, and I'll eat just about anything if I know it's good for me. And if it tastes good, that's just a plus. Okay. So moving on to our next section, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Jean Bruno. And Jean Bruno is the Dean of Huntington College of Health Sciences. And what I liked about his interview is his theory on education being formal or informal course of instruction to gain a set of skills and wisdom. He believes that an education can enhance your life if applied, if the education is applied, because we got onto that as well, and it can take one from poverty to plentiful, which is, I like the idea that he said that. So if you use the knowledge, that's the wisdom. He got into this industry via his grandmother, who was sent home from the doctors to die, and then she just reconstructed her life. So he grew up in a health-conscious home. So this was his norm, a health-conscious home.
And the key was how she restructured and reconstructed her life, right? She didn't take drugs.
Right.
Right? She took the health path. And that's what influenced him in his life to take up an interest, because he saw the reality of the application. And a lot of people, I think, today do not see the reality of the application because no one around them is doing it.
Right, exactly. He's a great leader in the industry, Gene. So thank you so much, Gene Bruno.
And it's Huntington great to College. Have Huntington College as one of our education partners in our Education Alliance. Remember those people out there, if you are interested in pursuing a diploma in sports nutrition, which is what Huntington College offers, that is accredited and can be transferred to a university, or maybe you're in university now. This is the advantage. Once you go through the CSNA program, then you can transfer those credits to Huntington or Clayton or our other education partners.
Mm-hmm.
So that is great, having those connections for our students. And then, who is our next month's special guest?
Next month's special guest is Trent Nellis. Trent is the publisher of Canada's favorite health magazine, Vista. Vista Magazine. All of us met together in Victoria with his wife, Shelley Lynn Hughes, and we all became very, very good friends, and both you and I, Corey, now write for their magazine. And, you know, he's a good writer himself. I really like to read his publisher's word.
Yeah, and Vista Magazine has really come from a position where it was just an idea and a thought. And, you know, they started off with, I think, just a local publication in Victoria. And now they're a leading magazine in Canada, right up there with anyone else. And they're in like, what, 1,000 stores?
Mm-hmm.
It's a free magazine. So go into a health food store and ask for Vista Magazine and get some good insight for some really good writers who write on a whole variety of topics. More sports nutrition in Vista than some of the other magazines, I find.
Right. And you're on the board of directors as well for that magazine, too.
Yes, absolutely. So it's a great piece of literature. And then getting back again to education, you got to read. If you don't read anything, then how can you act on something that you don't even know exists?
Right.
So literature and information, and now with audio and the different forms of education, what a wonderful way to elevate yourself and move forward in life.
Exactly. So we really look forward to Trent's interview.
Good stuff, dear. So let's get right to your hot topic.
My hot topic is, what's up with the nightclub scene? I've been to a couple of nightclubs with a few of my good girlfriends, whom, by the way, are all married. They seem to really enjoy this scene. I basically go with them because I'd never see them otherwise, and that's just what they do, so I tag along with them. You know, a couple of drinks, and I'm feeling no pain, blah, blah, blah. I always like to dance my behind off to the great music. I don't need anyone to dance with, so I just go up on the floor by myself. I'm not waiting for some guy or girl to ask me to dance. I just go up there on my own. And I've had some interesting experiences that really made me wonder, like, what's up in the nightclub scene? Like, why do these gals keep going to these clubs? And one fellow grabbed my G-string and pulled it. You guys are going to really love this story. Yeah, he pulled it. And another time, a guy tried to steal our drinks from our table. He was dancing with us, and they sleazed over and tried to grab our drinks. I'm like, these are not teenagers I'm talking about. I'm talking about these guys are 30, 40 years old here, not teens. So we can't blame it on their age. So I just, I'm really shocked and surprised. But it's really good for me to go into these scenes sometimes because I find, being a dance teacher, I see what's actually going on in the nightclub scene. Plus, I get to find out what type of music that they're playing. And I got to tell you, the music's great, but it's all 4-4 timing. And there, I got to admit, I do get a little bit bored doing the same tempo all the time. Nonetheless, that's my little pet peeve. There's been times when I've gone to these nightclubs and I have to go through a metal detector. Yes, a metal detector.
Now, why is that, do you think?
I'd hate to think the fact that they're looking for guns and knives.
That's exactly why they have metal detector. That's exactly why.
And then some places check inside your purse. I don't know what they're looking for inside my purse. What's up with that? So, I mean, by this time, I've had like a couple of, probably more than a couple of glasses of wine. So I'm kind of, yee-haw, no problem. But I am wondering, like, where am I going? Now, these are right downtown Vancouver. I'm not talking about Skidsville either. I'm talking right downtown in the heart of Vancouver, in very nice downtown Vancouver, where the streets are clean. And I just find, too, that they charge you to your coat check, and then they charge you an arm and a leg for your drinks, and then you go to the bathroom and you have to wait in line, or the bathrooms are really dirty. So, I mean, I just can't understand why women, I can see it when I was a teenager and in my 20s, but as I move on into like going into my 50s, these women that I hang out with are older as well. And I'm thinking, why would they want to go and subject themselves to a place like this? Even if you try to talk, it's just too noisy. You can't even carry on a conversation.
It's very simple, dear. They're bored, they're lonely, and their lives are completely empty.
Bored, I could see, yes. Anyway, so do you think these women are, that's what their problem is? They want adoration from other men?
Yeah, but as long as you depend on others for approval and adoration, you're never going to get it. You have to like yourself. And I would say that in discussions with many people who have been there, done that, who spent their teens and 20s and even 30s searching for love and going to nightclubs, who eventually find love and marriage and family, who no longer go to nightclubs on a regular basis. Now, there are exceptions to this, of course, and I like your idea about getting a group together. And I used to go with a group of people, like 10 or 20 of us, to a nightclub. And we were with a group. We had tables. We knew each other. We danced with each other. But it wasn't a meat market focus in our minds, which I know because I'm a guy. And I lived with guys growing up and guys going to the nightclubs. And I know what was on their mind,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So if you, as a married woman, go to a club, you absolutely have to expect, if you're decent looking and attractive, that guys are going to hit on you constantly, consistently throughout the night, because that's what some of the guys are there to do.
I guess so. I mean, I find it hard to believe that that's what my girlfriends are not. I mean, I'm not talking about every single girlfriend I own, I'm not talking about every single girlfriend that I know, but I'm just talking this particular one couple of girls, very attractive and very intelligent and great jobs and stuff and married for many, many years. I don't know. I just would like to find out what the motive is. I mean, we never really get around to talking about it too much, but because we're too busy having a good time. But nonetheless, it always has to be like that. I would rather just sit around, come to our house. We can turn what kind of music we want on. We can have what drinks we want to. There's no lineup to the bathroom. You know, I guess I'm just getting older. I don't know.
Well, wiser too. Why would I pay to go into an environment that I genuinely don't even enjoy, and where some guy checks me for a weapon, and then guys are beating the crap out of each other and getting thrown out, where it's going to happen? I guarantee you, if you go to one nightclub, any nightclub, anywhere on this planet, during that night, somebody is going to swing their hands or feet at someone else and get into a fight. And if you, let's say you're an innocent bystander and are right there, I mean, is that a peaceful, loving, self-preservation kind of environment?
No. No, not at all.
But it can be a lot of fun at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking to someone the other day and they said, you know, it's changed. Things aren't like the way they used to be 20, 30 years ago.
I think that's what I'm looking at right now. I'm going like, what's going on here? We used to have a heck of a good time. A group of us would go and there'd be no problems whatsoever. Now it's really getting to the point where I'm thinking, and plus I'm getting older too. Why am I even here? But I mean, I do like to dance, but I mean, you can't carry on a conversation. So you might as well, if you're going to go for dinner first, that's where you have the conversation. Because you can't carry a conversation. And as the night goes on, the music gets louder and louder and louder, and the place gets more packed. And I'm finding that a lot of these people in the clubs are way, way younger than I am. Mind you, I can outdance any of them and last all night long more than they could, which is kind of funny. And I probably look younger than they do too.
And it is
not
an
blowing
experience.
I'm not blowing my own horn here, but, and some people, if you bang into them accidentally, they look at you and they growl at you as though they're going to punch you in the face. And
exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's not the most hospitable, wonderful environment.
Yeah.
I think that there is, and this is not always true, and each club is different because you and I have traveled all over the world and been in different clubs. You know, I can remember dancing on the beach in Greece where everyone was having fun and lovey-dovey, and then there's the hippie kind of thing in San Francisco, you know. Then there's the meat market, the, you know, I don't know, the environment where everyone's dressed up to the nines they're intentionally trying to attract people of the opposite sex, and, you know, it's very superficial versus going to a country pub and having a beer. It's an entirely different environment.
Yeah.
So I think that the environment that you're in typifies your character. If you're attracted to a certain kind of environment and you keep going back, and at the same time, we haven't delved into the personal relationship issue, but what kind of relationships do these women that are married have with their husbands? Are their husbands agreeable to what they're doing? Is this a real issue in their relationship when their wives come home at 8 a.m. and their husbands are wondering where they've been?
Yeah, right.
You know, what are they thinking? What's going on?
Well, I don't know if they come home at 8 a.m.
Well, but 4 a.m. then.
Okay. I think what it is that they've been, I mean, like you and me, we've been together a long time. I mean, these couples have been married for 20 years, let's say. So, you know, they trust each other. There should be some trust. Or they really can't stand each other. So it's either one or the other.
I think it can be a distraction. And again,
why do guys go to strip clubs then? Why do guys, they're happily married, got lots of kids.
Most of my friends that are into training, into health and pursuing their careers, they're ambitious, they're healthy, they love their family and kids, do not go to strip bars on a regular basis.
On a regular basis.
Or even like, what's an irregular basis? Once every 5 years because your friend's getting married?
Right.
Go for it. Have some fun. I mean, that's probably the last time I went to a strip bar. You know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to have fun. But when I go in there, that environment does not attract me whatsoever. I see a lot of deadbeats, a lot of empty people searching for love that have nothing really going on in their lives.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why would you hang out in that environment? Because that's all they can get. That's the closest they're going to find to actually having a relationship with a naked woman of that quality. That's why a lot of guys go.
And on that note, that's our hot topic.
Well, that's a great hot topic. I'd love to go into that one even more deeply. But time restraints will prevent that from happening. And to bring this, he said, she said, to a conclusion, my dear, what is your final word?
My final word is, the author is unknown. Night is the blotting paper for many sorrows.